We again heard earlier today from the National Executive Committee of the African National Congress, Ronald Lamola, and one of the central organizers of the ANC's weekend summit on land, that the organization will press ahead with expropriation of land without compensation in terms of Section 25 of the Constitution as it currently stands. This follows, as I said, that two-day summit held in Boksburg at the weekend. The party will test the argument that the Constitution as it stands already allows for expropriation of land without compensation. However, this is not stopping the party from continuing to look at whether this section of the Constitution should be amended, and making representations and presentations to the current Constitutional Review Committee underway. The party also called for the expropriation bill, which had been sent back and forth between former President Jacob Zuma and Parliament, to be passed immediately. Lamola also said the party was calling for a land redistribution bill, to be passed as well. Let's quickly take a listen to some of the remarks made by Mr. Lamola before we are joined on the line by the Professor Ruth Hall, who's a senior researcher at the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies at the University of the Western Cape. Let's listen to Lamola speaking about the ANC's approach to the Constitution and what it says about how to go about land redistribution and transformation.
The ANC approaches this discussion on the on Section 25 and constitutionalism, informed by its historical position, that the ANC is an architect, has always been an architect of the constitutional democracy and our own constitutional democratic order. So therefore, the ANC will always defend the Constitution as a transformative document. And the ANC views the Constitution of this country as a mandate for transformation. And if we believe that there is anything that might impede transformation, we must enhance the Constitution. So from our perspective, the Constitution is not a sellout document. It's a document that has got transformative imperatives, and it is very clear in terms of which legislations must be enacted to enhance transformation. So that's how the ANC views any discussion with regard to the Constitution.
That is, of course, Ronald Lamola, an ANC NEC member and a central organizer of that land summit. Well, for her reaction, Professor Ruth Hall now joins us on the line. Professor, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Karina.
Now, of course, you participated and of course, also made presentations. I played that clip for a very particular reason. There is a sense among some in and outside of the African National Congress that the overwhelming majority of the organization is agitating for constitutional change because somehow the Constitution is inadequate when it comes to dealing with the question around land expropriation without compensation. Would you say that the way in which Mr. Lamola phrased himself there summed up the kind of parameters and framework of the content of the discussions that you guys had over the weekend?
So good question, but I think that you know, one way to respond to this is just to look at the opening plenary where the president spoke, former President Motlanthe spoke, and Advocate Thembeka and Mokatobi spoke. So the
right.
Three of them spoke, and I think that, you know, the three presentations made a very powerful statement. And what the president said is, let's go back to our roots as the ANC. The land issue is part of our roots. We fought for this property clause. Mm. We fought for it in the 1990s. We fought against those who wanted to insulate private property rights and provide a blanket protection of private property rights. This property clause, if you look at it, if you look at the nine sections in that clause, is a mandate for transformation. And we have failed to use it. So, in fact, what he was saying is, stop scapegoating the Constitution for what has, in fact, been a political failure over the past two decades. Then we heard Motlanthe reporting on the findings of his high-level panel, which is absolutely devastating about how the executive has failed to give effect to the Constitution and to other laws that have been passed. So his message was, this mandate for transformation has not been honored. We haven't done our job, and we're going to have to start in a whole new way. And then Mukatobi speaks, and he says, he goes through the case law, the common law, he goes through Section 25, and he makes it abundantly clear that the state can expropriate without compensation. You cannot do so in a discriminatory manner. You cannot do so if it is not just or not equitable. But you can expropriate without compensation. So he's saying on a case-by-case basis, the state can do so, and it could always do so. So he was actually saying quite jokingly to the ANC, sorry, you didn't invent expropriation without compensation. It's been there in our statutes, in fact, for decades. So let's not pick on the Constitution. Let's clarify, what is the policy position of the ANC? So I think that we're into a new discussion, and I think that that's quite a significant shift, that the ANC is now positioning itself in this highly polarized debate. We've got AfriForum, we've got the EFF. There's a lot of hype around the Constitution as if that were the problem, and now we realize that politics is the problem.
Exactly, and of course also governance in terms of the findings of that high panel, which you described as devastating in terms of its indictment on the extent to which what was actually a provision was there. Professor Hall, do you think, considering the conversations and the debates that were had, that the state is finally ready to bring that test case?
Well, yes, I think that now, you know, changing the Constitution, nobody really knows. Well, those who want to change the Constitution, what would you change? Because if you look at Section 25, it's the most incredibly sophisticated mandate for, like, you must do land reform.
Yeah.
So instead, the question becomes, how do we actually use our existing framework to advance expropriation? And of course, we don't want to expropriate in every single case, but expropriation is important where you want to get the land that happens to be claimed by the restitution claimants, right? You can't just go onto the open market. You need that land. And so expropriation is a mechanism to break deadlock. When and whether or not to pay compensation is a separate issue. So I think that we're probably going to see a number of test cases where the state is saying, under these kinds of circumstances, we think we should not pay compensation as a matter of principle. It's not about punishing property owners. It's a matter of principle. For instance, where there are abandoned inner-city buildings in Johannesburg, you know, and the property owners are not maintaining them. They don't pay. There's a public interest there. In informal settlements, what is the value of that land? There is no value. Expropriate. Where there are labor tenants in KwaZulu-Natal, and they are small-scale farmers who've been living on these farms for generations. They paid in free labor for their land. You know, these are situations where property owners have no effective occupation and use of land. There is an argument for it. But I don't think that we're looking at a situation where the ANC is about to take over large going concerns, expropriate, and pay no compensation. So we need to start looking at a policy position that says, here's a spectrum of situations in which we will or will not pay compensation, or we will pay partial compensation. In other words, we're taking what's actually Section 25.3 of the Constitution, which talks about just and equitable compensation, and there are five criteria. And we have to operationalize those and put them into a policy framework and then ask the Constitutional Court, is this an adequate interpretation? So, yes, I think that we're going to be moving ahead with land reform. Expropriation is not the silver bullet. And I think that what is very exciting is that we're starting to talk about a redistribution bill, which rather than strengthening the hand of the state, actually strengthens the hands of citizens. Because the whole idea of this redistribution bill is that it could take the idea of equitable access to land, which is a constitutional right, and it would say what that means in practice. And it would probably push for a more pro-poor land reform and prevent elite capture, because the state can't just hand out land willy-nilly.
Yes.
It must account for how it makes those decisions on the basis of what is equitable.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen to Ronald Lamola speaking on land redistribution, or rather the importance of the redistribution bill that needs to be fast-tracked.
We must immediately use Section 25 of the Constitution to press ahead with the expropriation of land where it can be done in order to test the argument. immediately pass the expropriation bill and land distribution in order to bring greater clarity to the transformation intent and the impact of the constitution. You will remember that the expropriation bill has been returned from parliament on many occasions, withdrawn, returned since 2008. So we are saying parliament must pass the expropriation bill now and insert clauses there that says we must expropriate land without compensation and state under which circumstances and what kind of land must be expropriated. But we have also said parliament must also pass a redistribution legislation because we have not yet passed the redistribution legislation. And for us to achieve certain aspects, particularly urban land, the land that is lying in some instances for speculative purposes, buildings that are lying fallow in some areas, and also to deal with some of the commercial large lands in the country, we need the Redistribution Act. And this is the key focus now for the ANC. We are saying restitution, we must finalize whatever is there in restitution, the claims and so forth. But the next move and the big project for us is the Redistribution Bill, which we view it as more which will be more impactful because it will not only rely on claimants proving their claims.
Of course, that is an argument made by quite a few. I remember Tembeka making that argument as well. Is that a position that you support, Professor Hall?
Yes, in fact, I presented in the panel on redistribution and made the proposal around the fact that we have this right in the law of equitable access, but we in the Constitution, but there's no law that says what it means.
Right.
And I think what's exciting about this is that, in fact, it's strengthening citizens' rights to hold the state to account for how it acts. So rather than focusing on the state must have more power, we know the state has had plenty of power.
Mm.
It has failed to use it. The question is strengthening citizens' rights and also creating a mechanism to democratize at a local level decision-making about who gets what. So I think that's very encouraging. And more broadly, I would say that, you know, there's the focus on the expropriation bill. We're going to see test cases. There's going to be the redistribution bill, which I think is very constructive. It also brings local government into the discussion. There's a strong call for an end to evictions from farms.
Yes.
But actually quite a silence about evictions from the city.
Yes.
Where the state is often the evictor, and also a silence, I think, around the issues around chiefs and communal areas, which are so contentious and which Motlanthe confronted.
Yes.
But I think that there's no appetite to engage with that right now.
In fact, I wanted to come to that. You're segueing right nicely into that. I mean, he's quoted as saying, forget the chief, choose the people. And of course, this is an election here. And the ANC's always tread that line very, very carefully. It's courted traditional leaders for all manner of reasons. What do you think is going to be the balance there? And considering the kind of uphill battle that the African National Congress faced, I mean, this is probably the toughest election that it is facing since the democratic breakthrough in 1994. Do you think they have the appetite to take on the chiefs?
And I think they're two competing theories. Listen, 30% of our population are living in communal areas. We often forget that. 30% is a very significant proportion of people who are living in communal areas, and we have failed to give effect to the property clause instruction that people must get tenure security. The fact that they don't have secure rights to their own land is due to colonialism and apartheid, and we have still, under democratic South Africa, failed to redress that. You know, there are two competing views. One is traditional authorities will influence how people vote and they will deliver the rural vote.
Mm.
The other view is actually, and this is Motlanthe's view, I think he was quite explicit and it was reported on widely in the media, which is that actually when he went around the country and there were public hearings, rural people were so outraged by what was happening. You know, deals being made between platinum mining companies and chiefs and millions of rands going into secret bank accounts and people being dispossessed of their land. And, you know, and people were saying, we thought you were going to liberate us from this kind of situation. And instead you have let us down. So he was saying, you know, we really have to think about, it's not in terms of numbers, it's the people who we are responsible to. And I think that, well, I think that this is not an issue that's really going to be confronted for the next foreseeable future. I think that, you know, within the coming year, we can see movement on the issue of expropriation. We can see movement on a redistribution bill. We can see movement on trying to clamp down on forced evictions and illegal evictions. But my sense is that probably the sort of the silent issue that's going to be held back for another political moment.
Yes.
Around communal areas and traditional authority.
Now, we've seen the public participation process in Parliament. I mean, the President was referring to 140,000 submissions. We know Vincent Smith has asked for extra time, and the President has urged for a great dialogue on this issue. But he's also said that this is a political issue whose time has come. It cannot be put off anymore. But, of course, there are many, many interests at stake, chief among them those millions that are locked out of the economy and out of the question around land justice. The way in which the ANC is going about it for me is quite interesting, because Ronald was saying to me in a preview interview last week, there's going to be no holy cows in the discussion over the weekend. Every avenue is going to be debated. There's going to be discussed. He admitted openly that the ANC isn't necessarily united despite the resolution at NASREC, and that, you know, there was going to be a broad canvassing of ideas. How open, how frank, and how candid were the discussions, Professor Hall? And is the ANC finally grappling with this matter in an attempt to actually act in a way that holds itself true to what the Constitution provides and what justice requires, really, in terms of disposition and the fact that so many people are locked out of, you know, the agrarian economy in almost every sense?
Well, I think that, I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail of what happened inside the closed sessions, because that really, it is an ANC event and they will report, and the NEC after this coming weekend will provide a more firm policy position, because
yes,
they're going to be considering what came out of it. But listen, we had seven commissions, one on the property clause. We dealt with redistribution, we dealt with restitution, agrarian reform, urban land tenure, communal land tenure, and farmland tenure and farm dwellers. So I think that, you know, firstly, it was a much broader than just the question of the Constitution. It was
right,
a very broad framing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a serious event. To be honest, I feel that many of us who work in the space, whether as academics, as lawyers, as activists, have been locked out of all government processes for at least a decade.
Mm.
So this is an opening up, you know. The ruling party is engaging more broadly with society and saying, okay, we don't have a monopoly on knowledge and ideas. We want to engage. Come in and let's talk. So I found it a very serious event. The president said something significant in his opening address, which was broadcast, which is that this issue has unleashed the biggest political debate since 1994.
Absolutely.
So I think he's very aware that, you know, this is very significant, perhaps also for his own presidency and how that is going to go.
Absolutely. Professor Hall, I know you've got another appointment. We will release you. Thank you so very much, of course, for the insights that you've shared with us. I'm sure we will return to this question and, of course, call on you again to provide your insights and your views on this matter. Thank you so much. That's a researcher at the Institute for Poverty, Land and Agrarian Studies at UWC, Professor Ruth Hall.